Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Wow. Are we having fun? Yes. And again, we're not always this wild, but we always have fun. So today, because it is Halloween and I like to choose something fun to do every year around Halloween, we are going to explore the metaphysics of Star Trek, the original series. Just so you know, is there anybody here who is not familiar at all with the original series? No? Okay, good. Well, that's, Waldo, you were lost. I saw that hand. It's a series that has permeated our culture, especially those of my generation, but it has lived on through succeeding generations. And one of the reasons I chose this, not just because I'm a Trekkie and not just because it's Halloween, I chose this because one of the things I realized many, many, many years ago in a galaxy far, far away, oh, different series, sorry, was that there is only one mind. And that all ideas, every idea that every human being has ever had or ever will have, come from the mind of God and then are filtered through human consciousness. And as humanity grows and evolves and comes into higher and higher understanding of divine ideas, we become open and receptive to a greater degree to divine ideas. And therefore, I believe that if you look hard, as Jesus said, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and you look hard, you will discover that there are messages from God that show up in literature, in music, and yes, in pop culture. Many of these ideas show up in our day-to-day life. I've often said in classes that I could take the Sunday funnies and I can find a metaphysical message in them. You just have to be open and aware. So today we're going to look for the messages contained within Star Trek, the original series. For they were platforms, and whether conscious or unconscious, Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek, was receiving divine ideas and creating a vision for what humanity could be. You can come on in, grab a seat. Creating a vision for what humanity could be. A vision that had never before been seen in popular media, and certainly not in television. He envisioned a world that embraced technology, science, culture, economies, medicine, and equality. It was groundbreaking for its day. Now, in those of us in spiritual growth and evolution for many centuries, all the way back to Jesus, and maybe before Jesus, had been engaged in that. But here was a new platform. TV was still fairly new. Here was a new platform with a new way for that message to get out into the world, couched within the construct of science fiction. Star Trek was a series of firsts. And many, many experts credit many of our modern marvels that we use every day to having their origin in the mind of Gene Roddenberry. Think about some of the things that came out of Star Trek, the original series. Cell phones. Motorola's flip phone was inspired by the communicator. I loved it when I had a flip phone. I wish they'd bring those back. Our tablets with our touch screens. Our voice interface capabilities that are getting better and better and better all the time with technology. Video calling or Zooming. Medical imaging and treatment. Universal translators. We now can use our phones. Where's mine? Over there. whole and say something into it, another language, and it'll translate it for us. Bluetooth and wireless earpieces, AI and robotics, 3D printers, teleportation can already be done on a quantum level. And my favorite that I just found out has come to pass, and this wasn't from the original television series, but it was from the original crew. If you any of you remember Star Trek IV, the one with the whales, they had something called transparent aluminum. Do you know that less than 5 years after that movie came out, they invented transparent aluminum? It's called aluminum oxynitride, and it is used commonly in bulletproof glass, lenses for space telescopes, and communication equipment. It's still very expensive, so most of us don't have it yet. But what's interesting to me is the idea showed up in a movie, and it got people thinking, chemists and scientists. And they said, wow, what a great idea, transparent aluminum. And less than 5 years later, they invented it. But more important even than the science and technological forecasting or pre-programming, call it whatever, that Star Trek was responsible for, was cultural firsts. Star Trek is credited with the first interracial kiss on U.S. television between Captain Kirk, played by William Shatner, and Lieutenant Uhura, played by Nichelle Nichols. There's an interesting side story to Lieutenant Uhura, or Nichelle Nichols. She almost quit Star Trek because she didn't think she was going to ever be able to be recognized as an important actress on it or anything. And no less than Martin Luther King said, no, do not quit. You are portraying a woman of color for the first time in a position of authority. It's going to affect the American consciousness. And it did. It was a bold move during a time of a lot of racial tension in the U.S. It had the first multicultural task. Hugely racially diverse, something unheard of in those days in the television series, including Lieutenant Uhura, Mr. Sulu, played by George Takei, an Asian-American man as the helmsman, Mr. Chekhov, played by Walter Koenig, a Russian officer during the height of the Cold War, and Mr. Spock, I'm wearing my Mr. Spock socks, a half-Vulcan, half-human. The series promoted not just tolerance, but inclusiveness among different people. Unheard of in our culture at that point in time. It also portrayed the first female senior officer in any series. Although women in high-ranking positions were rare on TV at the time, Star Trek featured women in positions of authority. Lieutenant Uhura, as I said, was a trailblazer, but she was not the first woman in authority in Star Trek. Most of you have probably never seen the pilot of it, because it was never broadcast until recent times, called The Cage. And the first officer of the Enterprise in that was a female played by Majel Barrett. It was also the first show to address social issues with sci-fi metaphors. It addressed issues such as racism, war, inequality, using science fiction as a metaphor. There were episodes like Let This Be Your Last Battlefield, which tackled racism, and A Taste of Armageddon, which examined the senselessness of war. Remember, that's right when the Vietnam War was ramping up. And I think probably as important, or maybe perhaps even a little more than all of that, was the fact that it was the first science fiction show of any kind to portray a positive future. Think about all the science fiction that had gone on before. Dystopian narratives were the most common. And here was a vision of humanity progressing, of humanity embracing equality, of boldly going where we had never gone before. It was the first show to launch an expansive continuation of the series that echoes down even today. They just announced the next Star Trek movie. So it is a part of who we are. It has permeated our culture. It has influenced us. It has inspired us. And as campy as the original series was, it resonated. It got the message out there. But what about the metaphysics? What do the characters really represent? What are the deep metaphysical questions that Star Trek explores? It explores questions about existence, about consciousness, about the very nature of reality. And while not specifically metaphysical in Unity metaphysics, it still addresses all of these layers, all of these areas that allow us to question, that cause us to ask the most important question of all, what if? What if humanity could have a future where we were one? What if humanity could have a future where everybody, regardless of species even, was included? What if we realized our true potential and evolution? You know, in Unity, we truly believe and have believed from the very beginning that humanity is evolving upward, which from the very beginning flew in the face of most traditional religion, because most religions are about apocalyptic ends and that we're devolving down, down, down to the hot place. But Unity and Star Trek said, wait, what if we evolve to a higher place? What if we evolve to a higher understanding, a higher way of being? And so one of the central questions that was addressed in it was around human potential and human evolution. It portrayed humanity as being capable of growth and evolution, particularly in episodes like Where No One Has Gone Before. They suggested that human beings, through development of mind and spirit, could transcend physical limitations, moving toward a more enlightened, or, dare I say this, even godlike existence. Now, when I say that, I don't mean I am God. Not that consciousness. We are told we are created in the image and likeness of God. What are the godlike attributes that we could exhibit more, that we could grow more into? Love, peace, abundance, wholeness, and creativity. You know, I think about one thing that Jesus said. He said in the King James, it's quoted as, "Be ye therefore perfect." Oh, does that sound hard? Be perfect? What are you talking about? That's actually a mistranslation from the original Aramaic. The original translation should have been, "You are perfect because you are created in the image and likeness of perfection. Come into that awareness." And I think Jesus knew it wasn't going to be a snap of the fingers. It wasn't going to be, "Oh, I am God." It was going to be a growth. It was going to be an evolution. It was going to be a rising higher and higher and higher to that point where we begin to embody those godlike attributes of love, of acceptance, of being able to see the light. One of the other things that Star Trek explored was dualism of body and mind. There were episodes where, you know, Spock's brain was put in another body. What does that mean? It questioned, what are we? Are we just this or just this? Or are we something more? What is our identity of self? Can consciousness exist outside of the body? Well, we believe it does. This is a vehicle we occupy in this now moment, in this life. But consciousness is eternal, which causes us then to question, what is reality and what is illusion? The great question of the Buddhist path, what is reality and what is illusion? We know that we are co-creators and we create our reality. We create our experience, our interpretation of the world. And when we see that maybe it's not up to what we expect or what we desire or what we want or what is healthy and holistic for all of humanity or all the world, is it illusion or is it reality? And if so, whichever one, can we change it? Well, if we create illusion, if we create a reality, we can change it. I often say, you know, one of the biggest challenges we have right now in the world is climate change. But if we created it, guess what? We have the same capability to change it. If we start putting our energy into that. What is our perception of the universe? What is the nature of truth? And what is the distinction between reality and illusion? And finally, in this realm of metaphysics, they explored ethics. Ethics. It's a word we hear sometimes, but how often do we really think about it? In Star Trek, they had the Prime Directive. And the Prime Directive was deeply rooted in their culture, and it said, it is prohibited to interfere with the natural development of alien civilizations. Now, this concept brings forth questions of moral relativism and moral absolutism. It asks whether there is a universal ethical law or if ethical systems are shaped by our culture. And I have to be honest, in just about every single episode of Star Trek, all the generations of it, they break the Prime Directive. And I got to, I've always kind of laughed about that, but I got to thinking about it and wondering if maybe that's not a great lesson as well. For how hard is it really, truly, to not influence everyone around us? Can we really go through life without having any influence on each other? I would say it's impossible. And I would say that's a good thing because we feed each other, we grow from each other, we learn from each other, we support one another. So perhaps that was intentional. So let's take a look at some of the characters and what they represent in us. Because we know that in metaphysics, in every piece of literature, including the Bible, every character in there is actually part of us, part of our psyche, part of who we are. Now, we don't have time today, to go through all of the main characters of the original series. So we're going to go through a few. Of course, we're going to start with Captain Kirk. What is Captain Kirk in me? The inner leader? The explorer, ego and will, able to make difficult choices and ethical decisions, the ability to balance the intellectual and the emotional, which is represented by Spock and McCoy. McCoy was the doctor, if you're not aware of it. Is it the explorer in me? That part of me that wants to be curious, that wants to look at new things and new ideas, that seeks out new information and new experiences and new understandings. That looks at the teachings I grew up with and questions them and says, wait a minute, is that really what Jesus said? Is that really what the Buddha said? Is that really what Muhammad said? Is that really what Charles Fillmore said? Or maybe I could look at it with new eyes. Maybe I could say, what did they really mean? And what does it mean for me? Captain Kirk represents that part of us that is all of that, and that has the urge to push beyond the known limits, to do something we have never done before, to boldly go where we have never gone before. How many of you have ever gone beyond what you thought you could do? I hope everyone raises their hand, and I bet if you didn't and you really think about it, at some point in your life you have. You have done something that everybody around you said you couldn't do, or maybe you yourself said you couldn't do. So Captain Kirk represents that inner strength, that part of us that's the warrior that fights to protect our values and the people we care about, but also empowers us and inspires us to go beyond where we have been, to face those challenging times, to be willing to explore. And what about Spock? Spock was the first officer, as you well know. He had pointy ears, if you look at my socks. He represents the struggle between intellect and emotion. He was half human and half Vulcans. And the Vulcans were a race of beings that were very intellectual. Everything was logic and reason. They had quashed down emotions. Except that once a year, they would explode for a couple days. You can't quash down emotion. But I think even more important, as time went on, Spock grew to not be about the separation of emotion and intellect, but the integration of intellect and emotion. Those of you who are Trekkies and have watched the whole arc of Star Trek through the decades have seen that change in Spock over the various iterations of Star Trek. So Spock embodies the rational mind, the part of us that seeks to understand the world through logic and reason. His Vulcan heritage emphasizes detachment and intellectual rigor, which is important sometimes because it is in those places that we can examine what is happening and we can look at the information that is available and make decisions that way. But also, we learn to integrate the emotional and to temper it with that. Spock's present represents that voice that guides us to look at things not only rationally, but as we grow and evolve, to say, wait a minute, what does the heart say? What does the heart say? And Spock also represents our shadow self, the struggle that he went through between his Vulcan self and his human self mirrors the shadow work that we do within ourselves. And shadow work is important. That's where we grow, is when we do that work. And then the only other character, well, we're going to talk about two other characters, but the next to the last one we're going to talk about is Dr. Leonard McCoy, or Bones as he was called, who represents emotional, intuitive, and compassionate aspects of ourself. The part of our psyche that is deeply connected to our feelings and instincts. Unlike Spock, who relies on logic and wisdom, McCoy relies on emotions to guide his decisions and his interactions. Oh, I forgot about it. We have two more. Uhura. Can't forget Uhura. Uhura was the communications officer. Uhura in us represents the ability to communicate, to express our thoughts, emotions, and ideas. She symbolizes the ability to communicate and build bridges between people and cultures and different perspectives. And is important, that energy is important in us because it represents how important it is to be clear in our self-expression, to connect with others on a meaningful level. And she represents our power of understanding. She shows the value not only of speaking, but of listening. Because that's what allows us to create harmony in our lives and in our experiences. Now, the last one. My favorite, actually. Klingons. Klingons were the villains of Star Trek. Without a doubt, the number one villain of Star Trek. But they're important to it. Metaphysically, the Klingons in Star Trek represent the primal forces of existence, embodying core aspects of conflict, honor, duality, and transformation. It's interesting to me that in all the different Star Treks, the Klingons look different in every series. Have you noticed that, those of you who are Trekkies? And people say, well, they writers and creators are messing up. No. It's because the Klingons are always evolving, always changing. They represent that part of us, that darker, what we consider darker, instinctual side of human nature that is always growing and always evolving and always changing. Because in that, there is the potential for great truth. And there is a place for honor in spiritual evolution. Honor reflects a metaphysical journey of self-mastery and alignment with a higher ethical code. And in Klingon society, a warrior's honor is everything. It governs their actions, their relationships, and even death. And honor in this context can be seen as this path towards spiritual enlightenment, where the individual learns to balance their inner conflicts with a sense of purpose and even integrity based on their level of understanding. Their code, their warrior code, is not just about external combat, but it's about the inner struggle, the inner challenge that we all have in the face of fear, of death, of making moral choices. It's that spiritual warrior that is at a more primal level, but that is growing. And let's be honest, we all grow fastest when we're pushing against something, when we have something to not necessarily do physical battle with, but something that calls us out, something that challenges us, something that propels us to rise to a higher level. In the next generation of Star Trek, there was a character named Q, some people saw Q as Satan, and even the first time we see him, he's wearing all red and even looks like Satan a little bit. But Q was Coyote. Q was that entity that called them to rise to a higher level of understanding. And though he was a royal pain in the patootie, and that just, you know, you could not like this guy, they always emerged from the conflict at a higher level of understanding, a higher level of expressing. So in this way, the villains in Star Trek, with a particular emphasis on Klingons, represent the necessary challenges that propel evolution, that allow us to grow, that call us forth. They embody the balance between the material and the spiritual realms, similar to the warrior philosopher archetype found in many, indeed all, traditions. So that's a very quick run-through of the metaphysics of Star Trek. When you look at it with the eyes of what message is contained here, what possibilities is this calling forth in me, we begin to see a new story, a different story. We actually begin to see our own story. And the best part is, the overriding message underneath it is one of hope and expectation. What if we had a world that was peaceful? A world where they didn't even need money. People just lived what they came here to be, the way they came to be it. Like so many other stories from science fiction, fantasy, and even the sacred writings, including the Bible, Star Trek is our story. It's a story of our journey towards the light, of our overwhelming urge to grow, to evolve, to explore, and to boldly go where we have never gone before. And as we boldly go, we learn one thing. We learn how to live long and prosper.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.